I want a Christian prime minister.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the whole thing would be a lot better if we had a Christian prime minister, because
it's all well and good we align on things like immigration, but if your moral compass isn't a Christian moral compass, you can quite quickly go down that slippery slope of, well, let's let people get away with whatever they want to get away with, and then that quickly becomes harming children.
Yeah, well, the libertarian argument would be probably to
libertarianism harm. Always ends up in bestiality and paedophilia.
Welcome to Fox and Father, with me, the Fox, and him,
the Father.
It is a show where Calvin tries to tutor me in the ways of righteousness, and we discuss current events. And usually we hand each other an envelope, and we swap back and forth. I give him a story, he gives me a story, you know the drill. But we don't have any envelopes this week.
Just
like staffing issue today. And I also, for the similar reasons, forgive me if you see occasional flashes of my chest because I haven't ironed my shirt.
You just can't get a staff these days, can you?
You really can't. Anyway, how are you, Father Robinson?
I'm good. I'm tired. I'm moving house this week.
Yeah.
All my stuff's going into storage on Friday, and I'm going to be homeless for a little bit until I figure out what I'm doing with my life. When I figure it out, I'll make an announcement on the show.
Why are you not going to come and stay with me in the...
No, I'd love to for a little bit. I'm staying with a friend in Cambridge for July. I'm staying with a friend in Oxford for August, and then I'm nowhere. So maybe I'll come and stay with you for September.
Come and stay with me in September and come to Skiathos.
Oh, yes. We've got to do Skiathos. Yes, please.
Okay, so
that's the highlight of my year.
I need to plan that one out.
But I've also overdosed on antihistamines today because the pollen count is crazy. So I'm kind of drowsy.
I didn't know that you were a what's it called? A hay feverish.
Oh man,
are you it's bad?
Yeah, it gets to a point where I can't even operate anymore.
I thought it was Emma Alberta Webb who was the one who was allergic to everything.
Yeah,
but it's you.
I have allergies too.
So you're trying to say I'm tired. I'm drowsy, yeah. I'm over hay fever time, and I'm still the hard leg work.
No, I'll still put the work in. Right. How are you?
I am all right. I'm counting down the days to leaving this dump of a city.
So when are you leaving?
I am leaving on the 9th of, well, no, the 10th of July.
Okay.
And I will be settling in to the new pad over the next couple of weeks while the kids are away with their mum, and then I will go to Greece and do the same things I always do: lie down, read books, drink Mythos,
relax.
Yeah, which I'm really looking forward to. But other than that, I've I was walking to my car the other day. Mm. Which I'd parked to try and go up and support, to go up so I could go and say, you know, give Nigel a bit of support up in Clacton. And so I go up to Clacton, I give.
How was that?
It was good. People are ready for Nigel.
Yeah.
They really
are.
He's
doing well.
Well, he's also saying exactly what needs to be said. Yeah. He's so seasoned in the game, isn't he? That he's just,
he
can just, he doesn't need a script. He just says it.
It was good to see you out there. It's like the right is uniting. It's a good sign, I think.
I mean, yeah, I think it's the right thing to do. I don't think we're well beyond, there's well beyond being, you know, competitive. You just want whoever's going to push it through to push it through. But they've tried to kill him with the Ukraine stuff.
I know, that was interesting though, wasn't it?
And it has affected the polling, which is interesting. So people basically just like, if the newspapers hammer a story often enough,
there's only one poll that matters, that's polling day. All the others is just nonsense. Mm. When you see Labour and the Conservatives and the mainstream media, the entire establishment coming after you, you know you're doing something right. I think he is.
I think
most people are awake to the fact that the Ukraine situation is a proxy war that has very little to do with us, and to address it in any kind of critical way, you're painted as a Putin apologist. I don't think Farage is a Putin apologist.
No,
I think he has a different take on the Ukrainian situation than the approved narrative of the mainstream media, which is a good thing.
I think that it's strange that you're not allowed to say that.
It's very strange.
We don't want 300,000 dead Ukrainian boys and men. And I'm really sorry just to be crapper. I mean, I'm no military historian, but I do know that Russia has got a much, much, much bigger population than Ukraine does.
I don't even want
to get into larger land mass. And I just know that Russia are going to win.
I don't really want to get into that, but I just think it's important that he's got a different take on it to what everyone else does, and that should be okay.
Mm.
But all of the establishment, including the media, are against him, that's fascinating, because it shows people who the establishment really is, who the blob is.
Yeah, the blob are, you have to agree to our certain set of rules. Yeah. So we're going to be in a situation whereby, I mean, I really hope that people see this general election as a 2016 repeat, a Brexit referendum repeat, and go out and vote like it is Brexit. Because they didn't get a Brexit. They just got, Brexit. But we're not going to give it to you in the end.
Mm. Well, the Conservative Party is, I mean, we're not going to go too much into politics because politics
is boring.
But the Conservative Party is going to get a good hiding.
They are. But anyway, so once I'd gone and supported Nigel, I went home. Then I had to go back to the station to get my car. I'm walking through London, having a smoke, and I stub out my cigarette on the floor and carry on walking my little biodegradable filters. Uh-oh. And some dude pops out of nowhere and starts harassing me.
Really?
And he's going, "You've got to give me your details. I'm going to fine you." I'm like, I don't know who you are.
Right.
I've got no idea.
Yeah, they're
who
not
you
police
are.
Officers, are they?
I don't know who he is. No. But he's following me down into the car park. And I was just like, "Mate, leave me alone."
Yeah.
Also, every day you open the newspaper, you've got those Rambo knives in kids' hands. Yeah. And the councils will pay for these people to follow around and police.
They're like mercenaries. So they make profit on how many people they charge or something like that. And then they make money from the council as well. So it's like taxpayer funded and funded through commission. So just ignore them.
I did ignore him. Anyway, also, I had no idea of verifying who the hell he was.
Of course not.
Anyway, I'm sick of, that bit at the end of a... I'm trying to work out what it's like, but you know that bit at the end of Christmas when you've just done too many crackers and too many pots and you just want to go back to normal.
Yeah,
I'm that with London. Yeah. I'm just like, get me out of here. Everything about this city annoys me.
I haven't been in Central for a long time, but I went into Central the other day because it was my niece's third birthday, bless her, so I wanted to get her
a happy birthday.
Yeah, we had a lovely little family party. Mm. But I went into Central, I was blown away by it. It was not as bad as Dublin, but it's crazy. That occupation of Regent Street by the child mutilation flag, literally everywhere you look.
But you can't have one in a back cab. You can't fly the St. George's flag in a back cab.
No.
That little midget dictator, Sadiq Khan, who's imported his little voter base, hates England.
I saw that Farage said that Khan hates England, and LBC were having a whole debate on who's the worst, Farage or Boris Johnson. It's like, come on.
The worst is Sadiq Khan.
Surely. Exactly.
He's a vile English hating, and that flag is, I might have to give it another burn. I might order another couple.
Don't waste your money on them.
Well,
rip the ones off Regent Street.
I did. There were plans afoot, but I thought I don't want to be in prison. I did. There were plans afoot to do some sort of desecration of the Regent Street child mutilation cult.
You touch that golden calf, you'll be in trouble.
It's done my head in, and that ban on taxi drivers with all of the St. George's flag.
Every black cab should have either a St. George's cross or a Union flag in them every single day of the week, not just because of the Euros, all the time.
Yeah. God, the Euros.
Imagine saying you can't fly a flag of your own country.
Well, we taught the colonial, the way invasions happen is you tell the people that you're invading that you're doing them a favour and that their own country is disgusting and vile.
Yeah, yeah.
But fortunately, we've imported the third world. We're turning into the third world. And I'm sorry if you think that's racist. True. It's true. You just have to take one look at the streets of London and you can see the fact that this city, once peaceful city and once low crime city, is now... I mean, I very, very rarely venture out from my house and there's an aggro everywhere.
Yeah.
Absolutely everywhere there's aggression and violence all over the shop. So goodbye and good riddance. And I don't want to be down on my country, but essentially England isn't London's not England.
And it's not. It is. It's a separate country and it needs to be treated as such.
It should, shouldn't it?
Yeah. So we also did the Rob Moore interview, which has gone live since our last podcast. That's been an interesting one.
Well, I watched the beginning of it, and you were having a row with him.
Yeah, I was trying to speak
about the six, and he's invited us out. Actually, wants to. I'll forward you the message. He wants to get together, and and have dinner. And he also said that he was going to take the advice.
Good, good.
So what did you make of that?
As a whole, I think, I mean, in the end, it came together as a good podcast, as a decent podcast. But yeah. it's taught me a lesson, actually. I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to do those things again. So I'd done Rob's show before, nice enough guy and whatever, but I only said yes this time because you asked me. Right. But I'm just going to, I need to start saying no more. And I have been saying no a lot more this year, but I don't need to be doing secular podcasts like that where the whole conversation is about money. And it's just, there is not enough shared language and shared beliefs to even have a productive conversation.
Okay.
I don't think it was fruitful.
I think it's difficult to explain to an avowed atheist. Or actually, I sometimes think that some people who, methinks the lady doth protest too much side of it kicks in sometimes.
What do you mean?
I think that some people really do contemplate their mortality and their existence.
Right.
And to a lot of people, their logical and rational reaction is to turn around and go, God doesn't exist. This is all there is. And I've just got to rationalize it somehow. And that, but they know in the back of their minds that none of this is an accident.
No.
Everything has a reason. Everything has a purpose. Yeah. Otherwise it wouldn't happen.
No.
You know, just by the very nature of bit of things. And actually I was having a difficult minute, as per, and someone sent me through something about suffering and sort of leaning into it, enjoying it, being grateful for
finding
it.
The joy in suffering. That's the Christian message.
Does it say that in the Bible? Where does it say it?
I don't know. That's the message of the Bible.
I don't know. I've had some antihistamines and I'm going, to fall asleep now. What is happening if I did suffer a accident?
People liked it.
Did they?
Yeah.
Did they say that my accent was all right?
I think someone said it was a bit of a gypsy accent.
Well, don't be gypsist. Don't be gypsies. Now, I wanted to talk about two things this week.
Yeah.
And both of them are videos. All right? So King is going to put up on the screen the first one, and then we're going to discuss it. Cool. So watch this.
With a slogan, I attract the ire of the occasional online idiot. But I don't have social media, so even I have to be told about that by my brilliant wife, Georgia, who is the real engine behind anything we do. She educates me about empathy and understanding, and she has been a huge educator for me. But I suppose, if I'm honest, I'm a little depressed by the fact that acknowledging that everyone has the right to be who they want to be and live their life how they want to live it, as long as they're not hurting anyone else, should merit any kind of special award or special mention, because it's common sense, isn't it? It is human decency. We shouldn't live in a world where that is worth remarking on. However, until we wake up and Kemi Badenoch doesn't exist anymore, I don't wish ill of her, I just wish her to shut up. Whilst we do live in this world, I am honoured to receive this. I'm thrilled to be here and to be a part of this night. Pride is very important in our house. It's a family affair. We have skin in the game. So this event tonight thrills me. It gives me hope. It gives me fire. It gives me energy and deep joy. And even if I feel I don't really deserve this, I'm very pleased and very proud to be receiving it. Thank you all so much.
Congratulations on winning your award, David, but no need to be such an unpleasant little man. Like, Kemi Badenoch, I don't agree with all of her politics, but I think she's genuinely a nice woman. To say, I wish she didn't exist, I wish she would just shut up. Like, what? Why?
I've got so many problems with it. Let's just start.
Yes. With his wife effeminizing him.
Yeah. Let's start there. So I watched a film yesterday, so I'm just going to just do a small segue, called The End of the Beginning of the End or something. It's like it was a climate change movie with Benedict Cumberbatch in it. And obligatory mixed race couple, straight away.
Always.
And climate change. Mm-hmm. So it's flooding in London.
Did the trans come later?
No, there was, I didn't get to the trans part of it yet. But it's so interesting that this the new paradigm, and the man was really scared, but the woman was really strong.
She's a solid, yeah.
And this David Tennant thing about going like, well, my wife Georgia is the one who absolutely is the engine room. Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, well, your marriage must be fucking miserable.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah.
Because if you need to say it out loud, yeah, then you resent it straight away. Because, you know, I'd never turn around, even though Lizzie is the sort of, you know, she kind of runs things in our life. I would never go, she's the engine room. It's like, what a pathetically weird thing to say in the first place. It's not even a compliment. It wasn't a compliment.
It's a lack of male headship is what it is. And this is why he's so weak and feeble.
And then he moves on to the fact that people just can't be who they want to be in this world, and if they're not hurting anyone else, then why is that a problem? And anyone who doesn't agree with me should fucking die.
Yeah, it's false compassion headed up by tyrannous fascist ideology.
He's a vile
like,
man.
Be nice how I think you should be nice, otherwise we're going to cancel you. That's not nice.
It's not nice.
But it's not about being who you want to be as long as you're not harming anyone. These people are harming people.
They're harming
young
children.
Young children are having their genitals chopped off and they're being pushed through with drugs. It's not good for them. It's not good for society.
I think it's up there with full-on child abuse. To allow...
It is abuse.
And also, look, I get the fact that David Tennant's just an actor and he just wants everyone to go, oh, you're so wonderful, David. Oh, great performance as Doctor Who and then, whatever you've done since. But it's like...
He was good in Doctor Who.
He's a very good actor.
I don't need to know his politics.
Well, I don't mind knowing people's politics.
No, I don't know celebrity politics.
As long as they turn around and go, I'm into the trans stuff. I totally understand that Kimmy Badenoch's not. That's it.
I don't even want to go that far. I don't want to know my actor's politics. I don't want to know celebrities' politics. I just want to watch the product that they put together. Ricky Gervais says, accept your little award, thank your God, and bugger off.
Yeah, it's so pathetic.
Although he doesn't say that. But, you know.
Yeah, but no. I think he does say thank your God. Or your
he says agent. An F off.
Yeah, and then F off. But the idea of that it's the mother that I have the problem with. You think about what a mother's desire to protect their children and keep them safe and all of those things. The father has a different relationship, which is protect everybody, make sure everyone's safe, and you know, and we worry about other things like money and all of that sort of stuff. But for a mother to allow her own son to, and Emma Bunton was at it as
Wherever you have these weak fathers, you have children that are transing. The children are being harmed. I don't know what David Tennant's family is like, but you know, lots of these celebrities have trans children. A child can't be trans. You are abusing your child or neglecting your child at the very least.
They're just fashionable because your black ones aren't fashionable.
They're not fashionable anymore, are they?
You can't adopting a black one is no use to any celebrity. It's so passive. But it's really awful to it. That's where I get the little shit done with.
You can imagine around the lunch table, can't you? How many trans children do you have now? Three of mine are trans now.
It won't. They'll all go to Soho House and they rent out a little Soho House villa in the country, Soho farmhouse, and they get loads of coke in and they snort lines and talk about compassion and empathy. Not you, David. I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying celebs in general.
In general, yeah.
That's what they do. They get wasted and then put the world to right.
Yeah.
Until, you know, on 24-hour drug benders.
Right.
I've got so much shit on all these people. I'm going to keep it.
Would you give up politics and go back to acting?
Well, I'd have to, by your rules, I would have to stop offering my views on things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. I would. Mm. But I, you know, that would have to be a mutual thing.
Yeah, I think you're doing much better work where you are now.
Yeah, it's just, but if like I was acting and it was like, I had to keep my mouth shut, but they could all talk about chopping children's dicks off being a great thing. I couldn't bear it. No. Like, I couldn't spend five minutes with David Tennant.
There's no diversity there.
There's no diversity of anything other than you believe what I think. Otherwise, you're, like you say, it's fascism.
It
how they can't see that it's fascism.
No.
And then to turn around, and the irony, to turn around and go, in any other context in the modern woke world, a white male having a pop at a black woman would be the whole world. Would
so this is the argument that Kemi's put out there, and I disagree with this argument because I don't think Kemi is a victim. You know, she's a government minister, she's very successful, she's high-flying, she's not a victim. So I don't believe in the narrative of because he's white, he shouldn't have a criticism of her. He shouldn't be criticizing her in the way that he did because he should be stronger than that. He should be a leading male role model who doesn't tell women to shut up. But it's because her skin color should be relevant. It should be.
It should be, but in the woke world,
I get the idea of Flip using their weapons against. I get that. I just don't know how effective that is.
Well, surely the only way to point out someone's blatant and vile hypocrisy, first of all, good for her for standing up against them.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely good for her. Yeah. The number of people who've got any conviction in politics, you can count on one hand. So good for her for pushing straight back and hard back as well.
But these liberals, they don't have any good faith. They can't say, okay, so Kemi's clearly fighting to protect children and vulnerable people who are, you know, maybe mentally ill or just maybe just a bit of autism, and they're being pushed down this trans route. But she's fighting to protect children. They don't see that. They're like, oh, she is against people's rights to X, Y. Like, surely you can see both sides of an argument that she's not a monster. She's not trying to do anything bad.
Well, in their eyes, she's doing something so bad that she needs to disappear.
Yeah.
And if anyone had said that in any other context, if I'd turn around and said, this world would be a much better place if Dr. Scholar wasn't in it.
Yeah.
That would be even, I wouldn't say that, even though Dr. Scholar is one of the most annoying people.
Well, she's a racist.
She's a vile racist. But,
oh.
What?
I got... Me and Kemi both got attacked by Dr. Kehinde, Professor Kehinde Andrews.
Oh, I saw that little... can I just tell you?
Yeah.
You'd be really proud of me. Let's just provide the context quickly. So what we're going to do is we're going to play another tweet.
Okay.
Watch this.
I call you a coconut, is it a crime? No! Of course not! Can you believe that I actually got an email to my inbox from the police, of all people, asking me whether Mari Hussein walking around with a placard with Rishi Sunak and Cruella Braveman on it as coconuts was a criminal offence. Actually, email me. We're looking for an expert to say this is a criminal offence. And I'm back saying, you lost your damn minds. And then what did they do? They still charged her. She's going to be in court on the charge of calling a coconut a coconut. I want to make it plain that terms like coconut, house negro, Uncle Tom, coon, they are not racial slurs. Call them all coconuts. Rishi, coconut. Cruella Braveman, coconut. Piggy Patel, coconut. Kerry Butternut, coconut. Kwasi Kwarteng, coconut. All of them. Because we cannot tell the difference between them and the white racist politicians. And that is a political critique that we have the right to...
Sorry, I can't listen to any more of that.
They're literal racial slurs. Coconut suggests you're brown on the outside, white on the inside, as if there's a characteristic, as if being white is a personality trait, not just a skin colour. They're literally racial slurs.
They are.
They're offensive.
It's the exact definition of racism.
But their definition of racism is someone who feels they've been racially offended. These words, I feel they are racially offensive. So therefore, by his own definition, he is being racist. But when he says... I'll give you some examples of coconut coons, house negroes, and Uncle Toms. Rishi Sunak, Cruella Braveman, Kemi Badenoch, Kwasi Kwarteng, Calvin Robinson. Why am I lumped in there amongst all the politicians? I don't know. But my response was, I've seen Professor Andrews many times. I've spent lots of time with him because we've been on panels together.
Stop calling him professor.
No, I will do. I'll give him the
professor of anything.
I'll give him the respect that he's due, and I expect him to do the same in return for me. I won't lower my standards to his. I won't go down to his level.
Well, I'm not calling him a professor in the same way as I wouldn't call Fauci a doctor.
But the point I was making in my tweet is that I've been, you know, I was with him shortly after his wife died, and I was with his lovely young kids, and I was consoling them and being there as a Christian should be. And this is how he responds. It's kind of to him, I'm not a person. I'm just a politics, something to attack, an idea to attack. But I still see him as a person, and I think it's very hurtful. It's very harmful to have someone throwing these words at you. And this is what he does. He stokes racial tension in order to gain a profit. His whole livelihood is based on the idea that this is a racist country, in which, if it is, go and live somewhere else. Go and live in a predominantly black country if that will make you happier.
You are much more... I really admire that, you displaying that grace. You'll be proud of me, what I wanted to tweet him back. Because, and I thought really, really, really carefully about it, because I'm going to do this at some point as well, because I'm getting really, really fed up. Especially over the race issue. You cannot be a racist and get away with it just because you're brown.
Yeah.
That's I'm sick of it.
You can't be racist to people because you hate them and say it's okay because they're not the same as me.
Yeah. But also that it brings us back to this problem. If you're going to start using words like that, Kehinde, then there's another word out there which is banned. And I think people should, we should start getting, okay, if you can start calling people coconuts and you can start calling people Uncle Toms and crackers and whatever the hell you want to call the people, why don't we start using the N-word back to you? It's like we just wouldn't do it.
Of course not.
Because it's out of a sense of real politeness and grace. But I've thought so hard, I'm going to go, God, I wanted to tweet.
I'm glad you didn't.
I wanted to tweet something that, and I thought it'll go mental. But well,
they think they're clever. What he's trying to do there is use our own weapons against us. He's saying it's not a hate crime, blah, blah, blah. But hate crime is subjective. Hate crime is, you know, this is hateful. Racism has always been illegal. Racism has always been offensive.
It's not illegal. It's not illegal to be racist. No, it's not illegal to be racist.
Well, I didn't know that. Yeah. I thought it was already illegal to be racist or to racially discriminate, I suppose.
Yeah, racial discrimination. And you know, you'll get racially aggravated crimes. But being a racist is perfectly
illegal. We know
what
racism is. Racism is very different from a hate crime or hate speech. The whole hate speech and hate crime umbrella incorporates so much of, you know, different ideologies, different politics and stuff. But racism is very clear. Discrimination or prejudice against someone based on their ethnicity.
They don't know that. Even the judge doesn't. That's the whole reason I went to court, to find out, you know, what does it mean and am I one?
Yeah.
You know, they don't know. No one knows what it means. Hence why we've got this pickle with Kehinde, who is just, you know, a race grifter. And also, I hate the idea that they think that your soul has a skin colour. Well, like that, it's like if you're black, you have to think like this.
Well, he did a whole video. I haven't watched the whole thing, but I saw a bit of it where he says, "I love my master more than my master loves himself," and stuff like. I don't have a master. I do not have a master. That is offensive. It's calling me a slave of who?
Me. You're my slave.
Well, no, because I think he was referring to Great Britain in general. But
bore off, Kehinde.
Yeah,
bore off. And as you say, if you don't like it, go and live somewhere where there are more black people and you can feel really, really calm around. Of course he wouldn't, because he couldn't make his money out of White Psychosis or whatever his stupid book is called.
I remember his book. I reviewed his book. I think it was for The Telegraph at the time. Mm. Well, no, Evening Standard. He literally blames everything on racism. Even the Chinese Empire, he blames on white racism. It's insane, the mental gymnastics.
They did bring in communism based around the concept of harm and privilege. So they're right. You know, communists and racism is a great way to bring in Marxism. So I can't bear that. And then Dawn Butler piped up this morning.
Did she?
To say, she blocked me a long time ago. I agree with David Tennant over the thing, you know, just to take another popper. Can we bet?
Like, she should be sticking up for her parliamentarian colleagues.
You would have thought, but also
back in the day, the left and the right would have at least defended each other.
Racial grievance mindset, she should be sticking up for another black woman.
Right, that's true.
It's so fucking inconsistent.
Kemi's not black to her. That's the problem.
Yeah, Kemi's a coconut to her. It's appalling.
It is.
And disgusting. And
they don't even stick to their own moral compass.
Mm. They don't have a moral compass. They don't have a moral compass. They're right about everything. Mm. And if you don't agree with them, you're wrong and you deserve to be expunged from the earth.
Yeah.
And that is fascism.
Yes. Well, so, I've reported him to the police, so let's see what they do.
Have you?
Yeah. Because that's what they would do on the other foot. If the shoe was on the other foot, they would...
For a hate crime, calling you a coconut.
Right. Let's see if these hate crimes are universal or if it's a two-tiered approach and the police only persecute people on the right and not people on the left. Let's see what happens.
They certainly don't persecute. Apparently, you can have a Palestinian flag wherever you like in London, then you can wave it out of the top of your car, drive down Maida Vale and go kill the Jews, and that's fine in London.
Yeah.
You know. And then in Germany, you can rape a young girl and seven men can rape a young girl and a person can get the phone number of it, complain, send them abusive messages, and they'll be jailed for longer than all of the rapists, of our cultural enricher rapists.
What's going on?
Cultural suicide is what's going on.
Have you noticed there's been a massive Twitter
purge?
Yeah, purge.
Well, I was fully expecting you to get...
I'm expecting myself to be banned as well.
You to get banned for your dolphin tweet. Yeah.
I mean, that was quite mild. People send me all this stuff about, you know, the Mohammedans doing it with goats and all. There's loads of horrible stuff that no one can ever unsee. So I didn't want to share that. But they're raping these poor dolphins, and these dolphins are becoming extinct because of it. It's just disgusting.
Some cultures are better than others, guys. And sorry to say it, and I know that you hate that, because diversity, equity, and inclusion and multiculturalism says that everyone is exactly the same, but they ain't. Hence why some cultures stone women to death and throw gay people off buildings. Anyway,
So Stelios is still banned from the Lotus Eaters. Hopefully he'll get unbanned soon.
Yeah.
David Atherton got unbanned.
They got banned for sharing a picture of something, and Elon explained what it was.
Really? I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it was a child being abused, I think, right. by a cultural enricher.
Okay.
And it immediately flagged up the Twitter algorithm for child abuse. So Elon explained that one.
Okay. Well, the Young Conservatives of Europe got banned as well. Quite a small account, but it's across the board. The right seem to be purged, at least over the last few days.
It's election time, baby.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Interesting, isn't it?
That's what happens during
election
time. The
argument gets suppressed. We've seen this continuously over every single election.
When is it going to be pitchforks, do you think? When we've got Labour, we've got a Labour Party in power that's going to reverse all of the trans stuff, so we can go. We'll go. You'll have to, girls will have to go back to sharing a toilet with autogynephilic men.
Yeah.
The incoming education secretary is going to completely wind back all the caste stuff.
Yeah.
So you're going to have kids being told, you know, the most pernicious lie that there was something wrong with them. Yeah. So you're going to have that in power.
Yeah. People are speaking up.
So. Then the official opposition.
Yeah.
Thanks to the Conservatives being so fucking useless.
If they are the official opposition.
Well, the Lib Dems are going to be the official opposition.
It could be Reform.
Well, I mean, a miracle would. But if you find that Reform get 4 or 5 million, 6 million votes and they end up with 3 seats and the Lib Dems get 4 million votes and end up with 61, then I think what you'll find there might be pitchforks.
People are starting to speak up. So on my show today on the Common Sense Crusade, hopefully, I say hopefully because we filmed this before the Crusade, but hopefully I will have had a nurse on there for part of this campaign of nurses who are saying, we don't want male nurses changing in the female nurses' changing rooms. It's inappropriate. We don't feel comfortable. We don't feel safe. We don't want them seeing us. We don't want to see them. That's not how we want to start our shift of caring and compassion for our patients. And so that people, normal, ordinary people, are starting to speak up against this trans movement.
It's a Christian concern thing.
Yes, yeah.
Speaking of which, Calvin, I have another tweet for you.
Okay.
Watch this.
Just makes me feel on edge. You come into work, you scan in the changing room before you start to undress. It's just uncomfortable, very uncomfortable.
It's disgraceful that nurses are ending up in tears prior to their shift. I mean, we are there to be an emotional support for our patients who are about to undergo surgery. And it's very difficult to do that if you're in a state of distress from having to change in front of a male.
We don't have any issue with trans people. We just want a safe space for us, a female-only space for us to get changed.
Now I know the trust policy. Anybody can be
in
there.
Well, that's the problem.
You know, anyone can identify as female can use that changing room.
I don't want to get changed in front of a biological man. And I don't want to see him getting changed neither. That's not what I want to see when I come into work.
And we're just wanting to talk about this and raise this issue so that women are aware that there may be policies in their workplace, particularly in the NHS. We want other nurses to be aware of what their trans gender policy is.
If this is happening in the NHS under a Conservative government, what's it going to look like under a Labour government? Who's going to protect women's safe spaces?
Nobody. I'm
from predators and perverts.
What on earth is a taxpayer-funded organisation that costs most of the tax burden to pay for is not saying that critical care isn't good. I'm not saying that direct medical care isn't good. But what the mother are they doing putting trans ideology in something? Because half their patients, at least, well, actually, forgive me, about 80, 90% of their patients will loathe the idea of this. But it's part of National Health Service. Who do they think they are, these people?
I don't know why a political ideology is being pushed by a public body when the government is against that ideology. Who in the NHS is deciding that this is going to be a thing?
Well, where's the other than Kemi Badenoch, where's the courage in government to turn around and go, no, sorry, that isn't happening. In the same way as you wouldn't have a trans tank. I mean, you probably would nowadays, actually. But all political ideologies should be kept out of public institutions. But the problem is, what I'm sensing is that this new rainbow ideology is the national religion.
It is the new religion. You know, it used to be the case that nurses were trained how to give baptisms. So if there wasn't a priest around and a patient was near death and wanted to convert or be baptized before they die so they could get into heaven, the nurse would be able to do that for them. There's no way on earth a nurse would be trained in how to administer baptisms, emergency baptisms today. But instead, they are trained with all this trans ideology. So the state religion of Christianity has been replaced with this woke child mutilation ideology.
Which is true. But even back in my mum's day, my mum would got in trouble, I think, for praying with a dying man.
That's been a test case recently, one that Christian Concern had, that a doctor wanted to pray with his patient who asked him, would you pray with me? And the doctor was in trouble for it. And he went through the courts and found that it was okay. It is appropriate for doctors to pray with their patients, thank God.
I mean, I can't really go through the courts for that.
I know.
But you've got fucking rainbow zebra crossings on the way into hospitals. A lot of hospitals are covered in pride flags.
Yep.
It's like you're celebrating Joseph Mengele.
Yeah.
Why don't you just stick a big statue of Joseph Mengele outside doing a Heil Hitler salute?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is.
Very close.
I don't see any difference between it. And I thank God for Christian Concern.
I know.
Who worked tirelessly to bring these things. They did Sedishka. They constantly do these cases to try and expose the absolute awfulness of the National Service, not the, you know, you've got to separate out from the frontline staff to the managerial class and the administrative class, but they are just beyond. I just, you know, another reason I just want out. I just want out.
Yeah.
I want away from it all. I want away from your trans capital city.
I
want away from your 20 mile an hour. If you drive faster than 20 miles an hour, you know, I want away from your fucking surveillance state. I want away from it. I think this whole movement has made people infinitely more upset and depressed to be fair, I know everyone goes on about kids and phones and TikTok and stuff, but I have loved the fact that my youngest son's phone is just chock full of farage.
Really?
Whenever it turns on TikTok, it's just Brexit, Brexit. And I love it.
He's hired a young chap, was it James Anderson or something? Anderton, something like that. He's hired a young chap to manage his
social media,
TikTok campaign.
Well, I mean, he's doing really well.
He is doing really well.
I think
there's the Irish guy who's making these AI videos of him playing Minecraft and stuff like that. It's all working in his favour.
I think we gotta all of us need to get out there and vote for Nigel and any reform candidate in your seat. I do draw the line at someone like Andrew Jenkins. I wouldn't have stood a candidate against her.
I love Andrew Jenkins; she's great, but
I wouldn't stand
it. Zero seats, and I'm not at the point where I'm endorsing reform at all, actually. But I'm not against them. I'm sick and tired of supporting politicians that end up letting us down. And I'm not any more voting for the least worst option. I want a Christian that I know can believes in the sanctity of life. That's important for me. And I know people like Carl will say it's a purity test. I don't really care. I do think the right should stick together. That's good that they're doing that. And I think it's great you're supporting Farage, but I will not endorse anyone that's not a Christian at this point.
Well, I think that, what about someone who has Christian values?
I mean, what does that mean?
Well, it means you're against the mutilation of children. Right, it means that all are created equal and should be treated equal. And
I want a Christian prime minister.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the whole thing would be a lot better if we had a Christian prime minister. Because
it's all well and good we align on things like immigration, but if your moral compass isn't a Christian moral compass, you can quite quickly go down that slippery slope of, well, let's let people get away with whatever they want to get away with, and then that quickly becomes harming children.
Yeah, well, the libertarian argument would be probably to
libertarianism launch. Always ends up in bestiality and paedophilia. But it's not just London. It's also, obviously, Canada is a mess, and our friend Tommy has been arrested again for speaking the truth.
That guy. I mean, obviously the great news of Assange getting released suddenly.
Well, James Denningpole put out this thread today that he thinks Assange is a agent.
Oh, God. Denningpole.
I love Denningpole, but he's right down that
road. No, I mean, to Denningpole, the only thing that's real to dear James is James. Like, everyone else is working for the other team. Like, they're all secret covert agents. Right. I mean, I listened to his Alistair Williams podcast. I love his podcast. I mean, I just don't envy what must go on in his brain. He must just look at everyone and go,
right,
have you been sent by the Kremlin?
I think Assange has done a lot of good work, and it's good that he's finally out.
Yeah, and I think it's amazing. You can tell the most you can tell about anybody is how much the authorities hate them.
Yeah.
So, and I used to apply this rule to films. If The Guardian gave it a 1-star review, I'd immediately go and watch it, or a play, because I was just like, if The Guardian hates it, I'm going to love it.
Like the new Star Wars film. Everyone hates the new Star Wars film, except the people who do the reviews. Mm. The reviewers are all like, oh, this is great. You know, we've got trans, queer, lesbian, interracial, like tick every single woke box. It's great. But the people watch it and they're like, no, the critics are wrong. This is a bad film. And the critics go, you know, you guys are wrong to not like the film. Like, you don't like it because you're misogynist. It's like, no, the last film had a female lead and we liked that film. It's not that. You're shoving too much ideology into it. It's a bad film. Bad series.
The showrunner hired someone who'd never seen Star Wars before.
It's like, we don't care about Star Wars. We care about our ideology.
Because she thought it was important to bring in fresh new voices. My God, showbiz, you guys, would you like to go back to acting? I'm like, yeah, but what would I want to be in?
I know.
I mean, yeah, it's nice flying around the world and that's all lovely. And actors, to be fair to them, you know, lily-livered sods that 95% are just desperately walking around looking for approval. They are funny as hell. Like, you will have a really good laugh with actor. And the things actors will say to you off camera that they'd never say in a newspaper interview is can be very, very funny. But I think I am at that juncture now where I have to think, what am I going to do? Because Farage has essentially picked up everything that we've been going on about. Yeah. He never spoke about the culture, really. I think he's going to struggle to answer the more difficult questions. So if you're inside the tent, the establishment, the blob, which they're saying, come on then, Nigel.
And he's done a good job over the years of remaining inside the tent and not being cancelled by the mainstream, which we've all been cancelled.
Yeah.
And he's really treading careful ground now to address the issues that we think are important whilst not getting kicked out of the tent. But
he's going to get kicked out of the tent because, I'll tell you what's going to get him kicked out of the tent. Here's my prediction. There is an issue with the fact that he's couching the cultural problem on immigration.
Mm.
So he's saying it's just too much immigration. Look, it's destroying our health services. It's you know, we're building 200 houses on the side of every town, but no new doctor surgery. He's got the logistical aspect is right, but he's avoiding the real issue, which is that our culture is being eroded as well. It's not just about the immigration being a fiscal problem.
No.
It's a cultural problem.
Yep.
And someone is going to ask him a question at some point where he is going to have to make his feelings known about radical Islam, and that will have him kicked out of the tent.
Yeah, I've seen him address that in what he uses their terms, doesn't he? This is the problem, like the GDP, the financial crisis, the tension of too many people on the NHS or too many people in school. Yeah, he's using their terminology instead of coming around to ours. And I've seen him, when he does address Islam, it's like, oh, this is going to affect Muslims too, and this and that and the other. It's like, okay.
Especially at the rate of transformation, you know, the rate of what we're seeing in the country, especially as I've moan on about endlessly in London. But he's going to have to face that question at some point. And maybe he'll be emboldened because, you know, I think public opinion is behind him. That obviously we've repeated, and I've said many, many times, it's not the individual Muslim one has a problem with. No. It's the ideology that they serve.
And that's the thing the left will never understand. It never ceases to amaze me, the accusations they throw at all of us.
I know.
And I've had, again, this week, homophobic this, homophobic that. It's like, literally, the friends that I have that are same-sex attracted, the ones who identify as gay, I'm the only one who stands by them when they get cancelled. All these people that think they are gay allies or whatever, LGBT allies, are the ones that are first out the door not to get tarnished with whatever brush they're... So it's like, how are we the homophobes when we're the ones that stick by our friends despite whatever lifestyle they choose to live by?
Because people really struggle with this idea of what it is to be a Christian. Like, they don't know what it means. So they don't know that you're living, you're trying and failing relentlessly, but you're trying to live Christianity. You're trying to live as Christ would want you to live. And that involves, you know, it doesn't, you're gay, I don't approve of, it's not, But I
love you as a person.
I love you as a person. Yeah. Exactly the same way as you love a Muslim as a person. Exactly. But you can absolutely. And I think we should. What was Hitchens' line about Islamophobia, a word invented by fascists for cowards to bring it, you know, whatever. Yeah. It's... We should robustly challenge that, and I don't think you can do that from inside the tent. So just to sort of circle back to me,
said the actor
to the bishop. I now do have to work out because he's now picked up the entire cultural mantle, not in its entirety, to be fair, but he's picked up a lot, and he's in the tent, which means that what's the point of me? Other than maybe to shout from the children's table.
I love that you're asking that question, though, because this is the question they never ask on the other side. Right. You know, the people who say we're for civil rights or women's rights or gay rights or black rights, whatever, they never say by what criteria does our campaign end. This is why they continue to push. So when women get equal rights, it's like, no, actually, women are superior to men and men are scum. Or when black people get equal rights, it's like, no, actually, black people are superior to white people. Like, they keep going and going because they never have a success criteria. If you're asking the question, what is my success criteria? That's a good question to be asking, because maybe your fight does come to an end.
Yeah, well, I think it's... ultimately one you do need. I think what will happen is that I definitely don't want to be in the tent. I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend some time thinking about what the point of me is in terms of the next sort of aspect of my life. My mum always used to say that life is about timing. And I'll tell you, he's king of timing, and that's Farage. He literally just walked in and he saw it, and he went, right, I'm going to pick it up. People are that pissed off. Yeah. And good on him. And I will 100% endorse him, because I think it's pathetic of me to go, it's you need to be gracious about these things. Yeah. And it's all about the mission. It's not.
I think your stance has been great on this.
Thanks, babe. You don't like being called babe, I'm sorry.
You could have said thanks, mate.
Thanks, mate. Yeah. you've got the worry and the turmoil of moving.
Yeah, and we were talking about Tommy.
Oh, fuck bollocks. So Tommy's a hero.
Just doing a speaking gig in Canada with Ezra. It's great to see him and Romeo back together. That's wonderful. Yeah. He does one speech and then he gets arrested by the immigration people. They don't tell him exactly what he's being arrested for. Take his passport, so he's not allowed to leave Canada. Not allowed to go on the rest of the speaking tour, so he's stuck in one part of Canada. Essentially, they're saying, we don't like what you're saying. You're no longer going to be allowed to say it. We're going to find a legal loophole to stop you from saying it.
Trudeau's an evil little bastard.
Fascist.
He's a fascist. And it's amazing that he's, you know, why do people think of Trudeau? Oh, maybe they don't. But, you know, this is the man who endlessly black-faced to the point of black-kneeing.
Yeah, yeah.
He black-kneed and stuck a fake. It's like, I can't cope with this dude.
I know.
But Tommy, so the measure of a man is by how much the establishment hate you.
Yeah.
And under those criteria, Tommy Robinson is a hero. And actually, you know, you know him. I've got to know him. We both fought very, very hard at GB News for them not to cancel him.
Yep.
And they, you know, some people just cannot. The right-wing cancel culture is just, it's worse than left-wing cancel culture. Yeah. Because right-wing cancel culture is like, we've all had a very serious think about this. And we've decided that you're just a little bit above the pale.
It's optics, it's the optics. But it's always the optics.
All of us think this. Because, and if only you could change to become a little bit more.
Well, is there another way you could say it?
Yeah. There is another way I could say it. You're chopping kids' dicks off. It's bad.
But he has invited Nigel Farage to his rally on the 27th, which...
Yeah, we're going to lose. I'm paying for a lot of that rally. Well, I'm putting some money into that rally. Because I think that it's really important that the people... Obviously, it's great that Nigel's getting... is enervating people to get voting. But it's really important that people have a sense of community.
Absolutely.
So Tommy being Tommy... He's like, we'll just do, more people are going to come, so we'll just make it bigger.
Yeah.
And then he phones me up and goes, now that I've been arrested, and also two days later, they're going to try and send him down again.
Of course they are.
That's what they're going to do. Yeah, and that's why this rally is really, really important. So he phoned me up and he said, it's a bit bigger and it's a bit more expensive. And also I've got I'm in court 2 days later and they're going to try and send me down again for contempt of court for making a film. Which
exposes the hypocrisy of the system.
Oh, God. And so they're going to try and send him down. And I think if they do, he'll never get out because they'll go, we can't have this guy free. I think they'll try and do something bad to him in prison, I bet you. Yeah. So he said to me, I've got lawyer's fees and I've got a thing. And I said, well, we will put some money into that. And so I'm going to pay a big wadge of it. And it's so, just as a support. Again, I don't really give a shit who gets the credit.
Exactly.
As long as there's a place where people can come, they can meet each other, they can shake hands, they go, it's okay. Oh, there's more than one of me.
Yeah.
It's not just me at work talking bollocks.
It's the movement that's important. So that's why it's important that Farage attends. Everyone needs to encourage Farage to attend because he needs to be with the people and not just with the elite and the establishment.
Tweet Nigel and once we've got the graphics and everything that we'll put together, we've got a meeting actually, don't we? You poor thing, you're going to miss this one as well.
I know, I'm gutted about that. I really am.
I know. Trying to but we'll get you to do another message, and we're going to put together. There's going to be a thing announced there as well, and I think that it's just great that everyone leaves there. It's nice to just leave the ego at the door. Go, how can I help?
Yeah.
And he needs support. You know, look, I thought I got a hard time from the cops.
Yeah.
Pales into insignificance.
Persecuting.
Yeah. Vile establishment bastards. And offer a quiet life and and you can come and spend some time. I've got to buy a sit on lawnmower. That's the excitement of mine. I've owned a sit-on lawnmower before, and it was more trouble than it was worth.
you can get the kids to do it. They'll love that.
Well, yeah, you can. I can actually. Well, Eugene used to do the meadow in the old place. So I'm looking forward to grass, logs, fire, sea, light, everything. Can't wait. Bring it on.
Get back to England.
13 days till I move out of. London and back to England.
Moving is not fun though, is it?
Mate, I've done it a lot. I've moved a lot because when I got divorced, I was like, I never want to live in London. I hate London. I've stayed in London for the kids. So I've rented the whole way. And now I'm just done with that. And I'm done with London.
Constantine tweeted me this morning, said, I moved out of London a couple of years ago. Best thing I ever did. I'm like, yeah, this is it. We all need to get out.
Yeah,
just
you do.
Abandon the city to them.
Leave them to it. And on that joyous note, have a lovely week and we'll see you next week.
God bless you all. Take care.